Good evening. It is good to see everyone that is out this evening. I am thankful for where I get to live because my family is getting to hit those 90 degree days and already, and we're just barely hitting into the 80. And so I get to return the favor a little bit to them as they've been bragging about their warm days when we were cold. They forget that I like the cold. I've got a couple of things, though, that need to be mentioned. I forgot to say something to Chuck. The lessons for 1 Thessalonians are in the back. We'll be getting into that after we finish the book of Revelation. Before we get started with those lessons, though, I hope, if I am allowed to, with all the things that are, I'm going to be gone and such, I hope to do just a kind of a quick review over the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, his life, and the point in time when he wrote these books. We hope to look at those one of the nights before we begin looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians. And also, several of the members mentioned possibly having our Bible class Wednesday evening and holding the singing until the night of the meeting so that no one else has to step in and teach the very last lesson of the book of Revelation. And so that's something y'all can think about, and we can decide after services if y'all would like to go ahead and do that. It really doesn't matter to me. It would make a little bit easier on Brother Harold not having to prepare an additional class in all that he already does. But if y'all would think about that, and we can decide this evening after services. But I want to talk about this evening studying the Bible. In the book of Psalms, in Psalm chapter 1, there beginning in verse 1, the psalmist there, he writes, he says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Blessed or happy is the man who spends his time studying the Word of God, meditating upon it." Note there, both day and night. As you read throughout the book of Psalms, we see that the Word of God was something that was very important to all of the psalmists, not just David, but many others. If you look in the 119th Psalm, in Psalm 119, there in verse 103, the psalmist says, "How sweet are your words to my mouth, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Bible study ought to be enjoyable. I've ruined my daughter on honey for the rest of her life. It's just flat out ruined. She does not like honey. I think she's crazy, insane, and a little bit not bright sometimes because she doesn't like honey. I think honey just makes anything better. But we played Fear Factor, and I called it pig snot one time, and from then on, she just does not like honey. She refuses to eat it because I ruined it for her. But most of us, I won't say everyone, but most people enjoy honey and understand what the psalmist is writing about here, that the Word of God is better, it's sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, he couldn't run down to Dairy Queen and get whatever ice cream shake he preferred and things. Honey was the candy of the day. It was the sweetness that you could have. They didn't have sugar in quite the same way that we did. And so he could say that the Word of God was sweeter than honey in his mouth. How blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. Bible study ought to be enjoyable. But too many of us, we find ourselves, we're like our kids. Have you gotten your Bible lesson done? No. And they're kind of the same way they are as they are with schoolwork. Did you get all your homework done? No. Go do it. Oh man, come on. But when we look at these things, we should see that Bible study is an enjoyable thing. Among Christians, Bible study should not be a chore, but it oftentimes is. Do we really have to come Wednesday night to study the Bible? Do we really have to get up early on Sunday morning to study the Bible? Is not Sunday morning worship service and the lesson that is delivered and Sunday evening worship service, isn't that enough? Do we really need to do more? You see, as Christians, it should be, it's not enough. That's not enough for me, really. We need to be doing more. We need to study more. We need to spend more time. And so this evening, I want to look at how we can make studying the Bible more enjoyable. And I want you to understand up front, I'm not going to say anything in that we can put into practice as a congregation that's going to make Bible study more enjoying. It's going to be enjoyable because you want it to be enjoyable. And that's the point that we want to make this evening. First of all, let's define some terms that we're going to be looking at this evening. We're going to be using in our studies. First one is study. Study means application of the mind to learning. Application, putting it to work. Not just reading and hoping that it falls in. That's the way I spent most of my school years, in the things that didn't really interest me. Well, I'll read through it and let's hope some of it falls in, and let's hope it sticks around long enough for the test. And it seems that's the way with a lot of people when it comes to Bible study is, well, I'll look over it and then I can forget it as soon as we get through with the lesson. Or as soon as I write that answer down, I don't have to think about that anymore. And so we're looking at study as the idea of applying ourselves, putting forth some work. Enjoy. Now, I think most of us would understand what enjoy is. We all have certain things that we enjoy. That is, you receive pleasure, satisfaction, and fulfillment from. Bible study should be something that we can enjoy. Something that gives us something that it's pleasurable. Satisfaction means gratification of a desire, need, or appetite. We should be satisfied in our study and make sure that we're getting all that we receive. But for too many of us, we're, I guess you could say, anorexic when it comes to the Word of God. We just really don't take it in as much as we should. And we've been on a diet for so long that our spiritual stomachs are so small, it just can't take anything. These are the things we're going to be talking about in our lesson this evening. And so keep these things in mind as we continue on in our lesson. Study, enjoy, satisfaction. Now, first of all, let's understand that the Bible has the capacity to provide joy. We don't really understand that, I don't think. We don't really look at the Bible. Too many people, when they open up the Bible, they see a list of don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that. You can't live this way, you can't live that way. If you do this, God's going to be displeased. If you do that, God's going to send you to hell. That's the way we look at the Bible. That's the way we treat the Bible. We don't realize that the Bible can bring joy into our lives. Some things that are beneficial. I'm thankful I grew up in the time period that I did. My mother, to the best of my knowledge, never gave me cod liver oil. Now, to me, when I get sick and she'd give me Pepto-Bismol, well, that's pretty close. Pepto-Bismol makes me sicker than I was before. And Mom learned that after cleaning up a couple of times of pink throw up. She's like, okay, I'm not going to give you that. There are some things that are good for us, but you just can't make them enjoyable. You can lay all the cheese you want on broccoli. It's not going to be enjoyable. My mom used to make Brussels sprouts. And I could put enough pickles on my fork to make those Brussels sprouts palatable, but never enjoyable. I'd walk in the door, smell it, and I'm like, can I find somewhere else to eat tonight? And we need to understand that the Bible, it can be made enjoyable. Bible study can be enjoyable. That's something we need to understand. We need to start looking for that. We need to start looking to find the joy in Bible study. In Psalm 19, we sing this in our hymns at times. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. This is the attitude we should have when it comes to the Word of God. This is what we should be able to see that the Bible is able to provide. When you read the psalmist and you read all the things that he has to say about the Word of God, you can see that he found great joy, he found great pleasure in reading the Word of God, in studying upon it, in meditating upon it. The Word of God, studying the Word of God, can be enjoyable. In Proverbs chapter 24, the wise man Solomon gathered together many proverbs. He wrote the majority of the first two-thirds of the book of Proverbs, and the last third are those that he gathered together and thought were fitting and necessary. But in Proverbs 24, there in verse 13, he says, my son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is thus for your soul. If you find it, then there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. You never have to tell me twice. You want some honey? Sure. My mom made biscuits every day of my life that I can remember growing up. I don't remember a morning when she didn't fix biscuits except for a few times on Saturday. when it was fend for yourself when we got older. But she always made biscuits, and I always liked various types of jellies and jams and things of that nature. But I always liked honey. And I was looking at sorghum molasses, things of that nature. Those things that are sweet, and you give me a big cat head biscuit and a jar of sorghum molasses, and I'm a happy man for about 10-15 minutes. But what the writer of Proverbs here is saying, as enjoyable as that honey is, as enjoyable as those sweet things that we enjoy, you can find that same joy with the wisdom that comes from the Word of God, just as sweet and as wonderful as that honey tastes in your mouth and goes down to your stomach. The wisdom from the Word of God is to your soul. And so why don't we look forward to study in the ways that we should? We can see that the Bible is food for the soul. As we've already seen multiple times in the book of Psalms and also in the book of Proverbs, the psalmist and the wise man Solomon wrote of the Word of God using food to describe the ways that we can find pleasure in it. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, there in verse 3, as Moses is giving his final speeches to the Israelite nation, he says, He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now we read that and we go, hey, wait, I've heard that before. Yeah, Jesus used that when He was being tempted there in the wilderness by the devil. And He had been out there starving Himself for 40 days. And the devil said, here's some stones. You're the Son of God. Make these things into bread. And Jesus understood what Moses was trying to teach the people of Israel. They were manna, which we know. I've been eating that manna for 40 years. I know what you're talking about when you say manna. But Moses, no, there's a manna you don't understand, a manna you didn't realize God was given to you. That is His Word. Just as that manna fed you and nourished you during all that wandering that you did there in the wilderness, His Word was there feeding you spiritually. Unfortunately, it seems that while they were out there collecting the manna and grumbling and complaining about the manna, they failed to listen to the Word of God. And we do the same thing today. God provides us with so many things physically. As we talked this morning, we allow those things to take away from our time with the Word of God. And we have become spiritually malnourished. If we were to be able to see our spirit, I'm afraid that for many Christians, our spirit would look like those famine-riven countries that the children are just nothing but literally skin and bone. The Bible. If the Bible is not enjoyable, we must understand it lies with the individual, not with the Bible. It's a problem within yourself, not within what you're reading, not within what you're studying. It's what you're bringing into it. And you know, we could try and do things that would make Bible study more enjoyable physically and things of that nature, but that's really not going to help you. If you're not bringing into the Bible study a love of the Word of God, having that same passion that the psalmist had, that Solomon had in the Proverbs, having those same things, then we cannot see the joy that Bible study can provide. And so we need to be looking at ourselves. We need to take a self-inventory sometime and ask ourselves, what about my need for Bible study? What do I bring to the table? Am I the kind of person for whom any kind of study is a joy? My sister is kind of like that on a lot of things. You throw a math book in front of her, she's tickle pink. You throw a literature book in front of her, she's tickle pink. English, I imagine when you get into some of the sciences, she's like, I don't think so. But you know, she loves to study a lot of things. And you know, a lot of people are like that. But if we are not that kind of a person where we can find joy in learning, then there's no way we can find joy in the Word of God. If not, we need to make sure that we cultivate our taste for studious work. And we need to understand it's not an impossible task. There's great and wonderful things to be found in the Word of God. You know, kids don't like digging. My dad, that was his punishment. If we said we were bored, go dig a hole and fill it up. But you know, they took us out to the out in Murfreesboro, Arkansas, to the Crater of Diamonds National Park. Now, you go out there in this big open field and you can dig and you can find diamonds. They found some very expensive diamonds out there at the Crater of Diamonds National Park. My mom found a little ruby out there. Tell you what, I enjoyed digging because I was like, oh, I get to find something. This is a wonderful thing. When we really see what we're mining for, when we see the joy that can come at the end, Brooklyn, you ask her to do certain things and this is going to go into how much you'll get on your allowance. Boy, she jumps right on it and she's ready to go and she's a little bit happy because she sees a reward at the end. We need to look and find the reward. We need to ask ourselves also, where am I in my spiritual development? I'm afraid that the reason a lot of people don't enjoy Bible study is because they're going at it from the wrong level. We need to ask ourselves, am I a babe in Christ which with a strongly felt need for spiritual nourishment? Am I needing more the milk of the Word? And let me ask you a question. Ken and Paula's going to get tired of this. When that baby comes along, how much steak you reckon that baby's going to want to eat? It might like to suck on a little bit, and it might get a little bit of flavor, but I guarantee you it's not going to enjoy it too much, and it's going to wither away, and it's going to die if that's all they give it. And too many Christians, they think they're above where they really are, and we need to ask ourselves, am I a babe in Christ where I need to be spending time with the milk of the Word of God, where I have this strongly felt need? Or perhaps I'm a mature Christian for whom the newness of the Bible has begun to wear off. Well, I kind of have a hard time with this, because how can you be a mature Christian and you're tired of Bible study? But there are those, as the author of Hebrews says, they should be mature, but they have need to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. Perhaps we're like the fellow in Psalm 1:2 whose delight is in the law of the Lord. We're going to have a Bible study Thursday night. Anybody want to come? Yeah, I'll be there. I can't wait. We're going to have a Bible study again on Friday night. Oh, I had something planned, but I'm going to get that changed. Because I want to be there. Well, we're going to have a Bible study on Saturday. Well, let me see what I can do. I was going to mow the yard, but you know, it'll wait. Because they can't get enough of the Word of God. They look forward. They delight in the Word of God. Do we really understand our need for regular spiritual nourishment, or have we allowed this, as we talked this morning, have we allowed our love for the Word of God to slip down a few notches on our list of priorities? This comes before my study of the Word of God. This comes before my service to God and reading His Word. In the 113th Psalm, there in verse 3, the psalmist says something that, you know, when I read this, it just really struck me. And this is a freebie. This isn't in the outline. This isn't in the overheads or anything of that nature. Turn over to Psalm 113 and look there in verse 3. The New American Standard Bible reads, "From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised." It goes back to this first psalm. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it he doth meditate both day and night. When he gets up in the morning, praise God. All throughout the day, how wonderful are the great and wonderful mercies and the law and the Word of God. How great they are. They're like honey into my mouth, and they're greater than silver and gold. Do you see the attitude we should be having? And so let's look, as we close out our lesson, at some things that hopefully will make Bible study more beneficial. And when we find that there's a great benefit from it, it will make it more enjoyable. And the first one we want to look at is study with diligence. When we get the idea of diligence, it means that we really work at it. We put forth an effort. Study of any kind involves concentrated thought. I've always wished that there were some way to plug my head into a computer and just download the information that I want. And anybody who's been through school since computers have come in and have seen the ability to throw a disk in or a CD or a thumb drive nowadays and instantly upload just tons of material go, I wish learning was that easy. But you know it's not. I remember when I was in high school, one of the teachers had a Garfield poster up and he was falling asleep on the books and he says, "I'm learning by, what was it, osmosis." And I was like, that's pretty good. I wish it worked that way. But it doesn't. The classes that I did well in are the classes that I put forth an effort in. When we find joy, it takes effort to really see the roots of these things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, the Apostle Paul, and we oftentimes apply this in financial means and things of that nature, but look at what he says. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now we can take that and go, he who reads the Word of God a little will get very little from it. But he who reads the Word of God a lot will receive a lot. I get tired sometimes of hearing Christians say, well, I just don't have the knowledge that I wish I could have. And a year later, you hear it again. I just really don't have the knowledge that I wish I could have. And then a year later, you hear it again. I just wish I had the knowledge. You've had 3 years. Read. Live it. Live in it. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, is what Paul told the church there in Colossae, isn't it? Richly dwell. Live within it. Work at it. Put forth the effort that is necessary. Study not just with diligence, but study with regularity. My good friend Matt works in a bookstore and he gets these wonderful deals on books, and he knows that I love books and I like history, and they had a series of books from the Civil War come in and they were a buck a piece. Was it seven of them in the series? Six or seven in the series? And he brought them to me. I like studying about historical things, but I tell you, the effort I'm putting into it, when Brooklyn is out of college, I might know a little bit more about the Civil War. Because when I find a little bit of spare time and the mood strikes me, I'll go and I'm still in the first book. I'm just in about the third chapter of the first book. I'll go and I'll look through it and, well, that's kind of interesting. But you know what? By the time I've looked in it again, I've already forgotten the things that I read the first time, and a lot of times I have to go back and, you know, what were they talking? And that's the way a lot of people are with the Word of God. They read a little bit here, and they'll read a little bit there, and they'll study it when the mood strikes them. Oh, I need to be studying the Word of God more. And so they'll sit down and they'll read the Word of God all day one day. And then 6 months later, oh, I need to be studying the Word of God more. And they'll sit down and they'll read the Word of God all day one day. And it just doesn't work that way. In Acts chapter 2, there in verse 41, look what it said there. It says, so then those who had received His Word were baptized. And that day were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually, look there, continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. That doesn't really sound like it's set apart by about 6 months, does it? That doesn't even sound like it's set apart by a couple of days. Continually devoting themselves to the Word of God. Study with regularity. Another thing we need to understand is the need to study with method. Here's where a lot of Christians fall short. Well, I want to know more about Daniel. So I'm going to open up, I grabbed the wrong one. I'm going to open up and I'm going to read about Daniel. And they'll read about Daniel, and they'll study about Daniel, and they'll read what other people have written about Daniel, and they'll learn about Daniel. And they get through with Daniel. Well, I want to know a little bit more. I'd like to know a little bit more about the things that the Apostle Paul wrote. And so they'll sit down, they'll read the things of the Apostle Paul, and they become experts in certain things, but they fail to see how it all fits together. There needs to be a method to the things that we're doing. The leaders of the Jews there in the days of Christ studied the Word of God, but they studied it without the proper method. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about Me. They were looking for certain things and they were missing the most important thing. If they'd have been reading, actually studying and knowing what the Old Testament Scriptures taught and looking at all the prophecies that were made of the Messiah when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and that was pointed out to them, they should have gone, well, there's one. And when He was raised in Nazareth, they should have been going, well, you know, that's two. When He began performing miracles, when He began doing all these things, fulfilling all of these prophecies that have been made that they should have already read and known. Jesus says, you're searching the Scriptures, But you're not searching them right, because if you were really searching the Scriptures, if you were really studying them, you would have learned about me. You would have known I am the Messiah. Haphazard, random, careless Bible study is as frustrating as attempting to do anything else without the adequate know-how. There's a lot of things my father knows how to do, and I wish I knew. You know, when Brother Harold was over there and we were building the walls, and I was just like, I got to soak this in. I got to pay attention because he knows what he's doing. And if I went in there, well, the walls would have been rather crooked, and there probably would have been some pretty big gaps in the walls and things of that nature. Study with a method. We also need to study to be certain. Study to be certain, folks. We need to be seeking information that will help us to be more faithful in obedience to God. We need to have the attitude of Samuel. We need to have that attitude that we see there in the book of Acts. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead there. In Acts chapter 17, there in verse 11, look at what's said about the noble Bereans. It says, "Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word of God with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily." Look at that. To see what? To see whether the things they were being taught were so. To make sure that the Apostle Paul and those traveling with him were telling them the truth. I'm not going to just take the preacher's word for it. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read the Word of God. Study to know. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God, the Word of truth. Study not merely to know, but to do. As I was saying just a moment ago, we need to have the attitude of Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we read there as Samuel has been taken into the house of Eli, and he's lying there in his bed, and he hears Samuel. And so Samuel jumps up and he runs to Eli's bed. He says, "What do you need? I didn't call you. Go lay back down." "Samuel, what is it, Mr. Eli? What do you need? I didn't call you. But if you hear someone call again, you say this, 'Speak, for your servant listens.'" Your servant is listening. When we read the Word of God, too many people read it because they want to find something in it. They read it with an attitude of, "I know it's in there somewhere, I'm going to prove what I want it to say." That's why the Apostle Peter talked about them resting or twisting the Scriptures. Samuel said, "Speak, for I'm listening." The Apostle Paul, when it was pointed out to him the error of his ways, as he's going there on the road to Damascus and he's going to persecute Christians, and Jesus appears to him and he's retelling it here in Acts chapter 22 and verse 10. He says, "What shall I do, Lord?" Not what do I want the Lord to tell me, but Lord, just tell me. Tell me what I need to do and I'll do it. Ezra. In the book of Ezra, in Ezra chapter 7, there in verse 10. Ezra, we read there, this is something that we need to really look at and think about, and we need to emulate. "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel." Look at the threefold purpose. He was going to study the law of the Lord because that was a great and wonderful thing to do. He was going to study it so he could put it into practice so that he could be right in the sight of God. And then he was going to study it so that he could teach others what they needed to be doing. That's the attitudes we need to have. Study with diligence. Put forth effort in your study. Study with regularity. Don't make it a haphazard approach of, "I'll study a little here and I'll study a little there." It's kind of like me and dieting. I'll diet this day, but I'm not for the next six. And then I'll diet, I'm feeling kind of fat and the jeans are a little tight, so I won't eat six or seven Oreos tonight. And then Matt comes in, brings in two big things of double stuffed Oreos, and I'm like, "Oh well, bye-bye diet. You reckon I'm ever going to lose weight?" And that's the way people are. "I'm going to become more spiritual. I'm going to read. But tomorrow there's a lot of things going on. So I'm going to let it slide." And then they're feeling that the world is really coming after them and that life is getting hard. And, "Well, I'm going to start studying the Word of God again. And I'm going to start reading." And and life gets busy, and the Bible gets laid to the side. Study with regularity. Study with method. Study to be certain of what the Scriptures are teaching. Study to know that what you're being taught is so. Study not merely just to know so that you can tell others, but study so that you can put it into practice. Folks, we need to understand that we need to need. There in John chapter 7, verse 17, Jesus said, if anyone is willing to do His will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is God or whether I speak from myself. Ultimately, we will not understand what we study if we do not genuinely want to obey what we're taught. Whether we enjoy Bible study or not, once again, will depend on whether it gratifies a real need within us. We, as I was saying, need to need Bible study. There's the problem, isn't it? Do you need Bible study? Do you long for it? Do you yearn for it? Do you ache for it? Or is it, well, if I can make it. Well, I'll try and make it to most of them. The Apostle Peter said, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Like newborn babies, long for the milk of the Word. In Psalm 119, there in verse 97, we read the words, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. If you do not find joy in Bible study, then there's a heart problem. There's something missing in your life. If you cannot look throughout the Word of God and see the wonderful promises and praises that are given to God and His law and the mercy and the long-suffering, if you can't study the book of Revelation and see the promises that are made to us and how there's joy and happiness that can be found in being faithful to God and the promise of eternal life, if that didn't bring joy into your life, there's a heart problem. What do we do when we find a heart problem in our lives today, physically? Oh, we're going to go to the doctors. Well, the doctor says you need to take this. Well, I'll take that. You need to exercise? I'll do that. You need to lose some weight? I'll do that. And those who heed the things that the doctor tells them to do, live. And those who don't, die. My father took high blood pressure medicine all my life that I could remember. And he finally had a doctor said, you want to quit taking that high blood pressure medicine? He's like, I'd love to lose some weight. And he did. As far as I know, he hasn't taken it since. If we want to live, we will. If you want to find joy in the Word of God, you will. When you see the promises that are made. And looking throughout the Old Testament, there's a lot of things that look horrible and wicked, but there's a lot of things that are wonderful. Seeing that God makes promises and He keeps them. That's the joy that we should get from the study of the Word of God. Oh, how I love your law. How I love your law. Do we? Do we? I love my wife. I love my kids. You know what that means? I don't like being separated from them for very long. When I am separated, I can't wait to get back. I'm going to spend as much time as I can talking to them and hearing their voices and looking at pictures. When I was over in the Ukraine, I was so thankful for a laptop full of years of pictures of Brooklyn and Anna that I could sit there and I had movies and I could hear their voices and I was almost there. When I'm not with them, all I can think about is being with them. That's the kind of love we look at in the world. Shouldn't that kind of love permeate our spiritual lives? That when we're not together studying the Word of God, we're looking forward to the next one. And as soon as that one's done, we're looking forward to the next one. And we can't wait to get back together. And so we're going to do what we can. We're going to read. We're going to study our Bibles on our own. Because we just can't wait for the next one. Folks, we can be that way. But only if you want to. Only if you want to. Perhaps you're here this evening and You've been looking into your own life and you see that you don't have the love for the Word of God that you should, that you're not receiving the joy that you should. And perhaps the reason you're not receiving the joy that you should is because there's something holding you back. Something that's interfering, something that's taking place of the love that you should have for the Word of God. The love that you should have of coming together and studying the Word of God and spending time with it day and night in your home and throughout all your day. There's something keeping it from you. Most all that are present here this evening that have reached the age of accountability have obeyed the gospel, but there are some that have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we're about to sing, well, why not tonight? Why not? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that He died upon the cross so that you can have forgiveness of your sins? Do you believe that you need to make your life right with God, because if you die right now, you'll be spending eternity in the fires of hell? Why not tonight? Are you here? Have you obeyed the gospel, but you've not remained faithful? You don't find that you love the law of the Lord as you should because you've allowed other things in this world to take precedence over your love for the law of the Lord? Why not return to Him tonight? Why not say, God, You're first in my life once again, and begin to straighten out your life by repenting of whatever sin it might be that's holding you back? Tonight is the opportunity. Why not tonight? Come forward as we stand and as we sing.